T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yeah. What a great interview with David Newell, who played Mr. McFeely. Oh, I had so much fun with that. Overnight America continues now past midnight. Yay! Midnight time. I don't know exactly where to go with the show next. I had a couple of serious topics, and it doesn't feel right to go straight into serious right away. Or I could just do it, and it's like pulling off the Band-Aid. Sometimes you got to do it. I had a story about SLU. Do you see this one on KMOX.com? Maybe I'll ease into the seriousness before we get to this. And this is a really good thing. So they made the March Madness tournament. It's a really good deal for them. And the headline on KMOX.com is SLU stands to gain over $1 million in exposure for school with March Madness run. That's awesome. And that's a good thing. With the amount of exposure that the school is going to be able to get, they say sports programs for schools are kind of like the front doormat. It's not necessarily the reason for the university to exist, but it's the front doormat. It's the thing that welcomes a lot of people in. It's the thing that gets people looking at the school, brings them attention. An estimated 5.6 million people watch every tournament game. 5.6 million people watch every single game? That's a lot of basketball. So the Billikens prepare for their first round. If they can make it past the first round, more exposure. If they can make it past the second round, huge exposure. So as everyone watches and fills out the brackets and they see SLU on there, and depending if they pick them, they don't pick them, whatever it is, at least someone is recognizing that school. And it gives you an opportunity for the 100 million people or whatever it is that fill a bracket out. I don't know if it's that much. There's got to be. I don't know. Maybe it is that much. It gives the opportunity for tens of millions of people that don't know about your university to Google them or check it out. I wonder what SLU's about. I'll go do this. I'll check that out. It's awesome. So Washington University Sports Business Program Director Patrick Rishi tells KMOX, a spot in the tournament is worth about $100,000 or more in exposure, and it increases with each game. So it says even if they win one game, those extra 2 days of exposure, even since it'll most likely be an upset with the Virginia Tech, it would be an upset. That draws even more attention, and added exposure for the university could easily value over $1 million. Says it really pays off if they win two games, because if they make it to the third round, exposure as being a Sweet 16 school draws even more attention, not just to people paying and watching the game, but to new recruits or to people thinking about perhaps, you know, where they want to send their kids. Maybe the kids that are playing basketball, all of a sudden they're able to grab a higher profile player. Because if you're a team that makes it to the Sweet 16, hey, I want to go play for that school. They have a chance. We can do this. It helps them with the recruiting class and the different recruiting players. It says if you're selling tickets and selling corporate sponsorships, you're also selling hope. And if you can get to Sweet 16, that's some hope right there. They also mentioned that the last time the Billikens made the tournament, the incoming freshman class grew by almost 2%. That's good. Was it SLU? Where was it? Was it Mizzou that was having issues with their more freshman classes coming in? They were dropping there for a while. I think it was last year. Yeah, it was Mizzou. I like listening to Chris Raby. I heard him talking a little bit about the bracket. He was talking to Tom Ackerman about how he fills out his bracket. I don't know if I'm going to fill one out this year. I just don't get into it. I don't watch any of the games. All I do is, if I do fill out a bracket, it's basically, let's check and see how I'm doing. It just doesn't do it for me. You know what I would love? I would love to see SLU just go, 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 go. Now, I watched some of the highlights of it, and this is me as a novice sports fan, and it's not for me talking down. SLU was like pushing hard to win and get into that tournament. The hard thing is it's not a sustainable push hard. It's like you're playing out of your mind, and it's very difficult for a university and a team like SLU to play like that at a consistent level, which you would need in order to make up for the skill gap you have with some of these huge universities and these programs that just spend so much money and time and resources and recruitment and history and all of these things into it all. Let's see. Wow, you said roughly $2 billion is wagered. People doing brackets and things like that. Just in America, wow. You think those states that started to look into the process to legalize the sports betting, you think they're just waiting and they can't wait till they can finally get in on some of that sweet, sweet cash that they're going to be able to get in on? That's going to be a pretty big deal for them. So congrats to SLU for making the tournament. I hope they win. I hope they get the big upset. I hope a lot of people find out about them. I hope it increases their chances of getting a higher recruitment class, skill level, all of these things parlay into each other. That's a lot of pressure for these guys. Lots of pressure. But you know what? I think they're up for it. I think it'll be fun. I think they're ready for that challenge. And you know what? We'll all be very proud of them when they win that game, I'm sure. Okay, so that wasn't the serious one. Let's do some serious stuff. And I want to talk about New Zealand and a teenager that may be going to jail for over a decade for something he did online. To me, this is very troubling. Not that he did it, which is, you know, it's bad that he did it, but it's troubling that he may be going to jail for it. And if you haven't seen this story about this 18-year-old, we're going to talk about that next. And also what they're doing in Russia and how it's not much different than what's going on in New Zealand, which is kind of sad. It's Overnight America, KMOX. All right, so we're going to talk about something that's dangerous, and it's also serious, but it is very dangerous. You can take the gun debate out of this when it comes to New Zealand. We got enough that we have to deal with here in the United States when it comes to regulation and people that want to overregulate and those that want to ignore the constitutional protections. But there's something else that's very disturbing to me that happened as a result of this terrible, terrible attack in New Zealand last week. So, of course, we covered it here on the show, and we were monitoring and watching as the four people were arrested, and we saw online the news coming out of New Zealand where someone went into a mosque and just started firing altogether. Nearly 50 people killed and many more injured. Really sick individuals perpetrating this attack, putting out this manifesto, recording themselves doing it, things like that. Almost instantly, the videos started popping up online because the person that went into the mosque, one of the people, was live streaming online through Facebook and these other live stream these different websites, him going in and doing this attack. And a lot of times when there's breaking news, you go online and you see it trending on a social media network and you want to read about it. You're saying, oh, something's going on here. We should probably, you know, go read the story. And you see these videos pop up, not knowing what they are. In this case, you thought maybe this is a news organization in New Zealand, or maybe this is, you know, someone that is talking about it, or maybe this is whatever. But I think a lot of people were very shocked to see that these videos were widely circulated of the gunman going in and shooting innocent men, women, and children. Well, the videos, it took a while for them to get taken down because since this is New Zealand and you have a big time difference, it was happening through the overnight hours. I don't know what the staffing looks like on these social media networks, but apparently 1.5 million times this video was uploaded across the world and Facebook and Twitter and all these websites. They had to try like crazy in order to try to get this off their websites. And they have done pretty well, pretty good job of doing it. And they're trying like crazy. That leads us to where we are now. Imagine here in the United States, let's say you are one of those people that decided to comment on a video that you saw. It was the video of the madman going in and shooting innocent people. And by leaving that comment, the government said, we don't like that you commented on this. We feel like you're inciting violence by sharing this. We're going to arrest you. And we're going to have you face a judge. And you may be going to jail because you commented online to this video. We have free speech here in the United States. And even if someone was charged with inciting anything based on a couple of messages they typed on a Facebook message, it would be very difficult to actually put this person behind bars, if not impossible. And it would be very easy for an actual lawyer to defend this person under free speech. Not in New Zealand, because an 18-year-old in New Zealand is accused of sharing the live stream video. The teenager, 18 years old, not named, as part of a deal because he's going to go through this process. The person appeared in court on Monday, was granted a name suppression order, denied bail. The person allegedly is charged with posting to social media a photograph of one of the mosques being attacked with the message "target acquired," along with other chat messages that say inciting extreme violence. He typed "target acquired" to this video where the madman goes in, not in good taste. Actually, it's in very poor taste. It's a sad thing that people would find humor or try to find any type of commentary where they would look at this in a way where they feel like they have to pile on top of the tragedy itself. But it is absolutely wrong for the country of New Zealand, even if they are hurting and trying to heal and trying to figure out what to do next, to say, because you commented something online, you are guilty and you must go to jail for this. If found guilty, he can face 14 years in prison. Here's the two charges. One, sharing the live stream. That's a charge in New Zealand. He can go to jail for 14 years by sharing this video. And number two, for posting a photograph of one of the mosques attacked with the message "target acquired." He's looking at 14 years in prison for posting a couple of words and sharing a video that he had nothing to do with. Now, in case you're wondering, he had nothing to do with the attack. He didn't orchestrate. He wasn't involved with it whatsoever. He is just one random internet user that shared this video and said something in terribly poor taste about it. This to me, when you see different rights attacked here in the United States, we can defend the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Third Amendment, and there are a lot of great people that are defending this sort of thing. But when we look at these rights, we have to fight like crazy to make sure they're not taken away, because if they do, they're never coming back. How would you like to live in a country, let's say here in the United States, where you're online, and even if you say something in poor taste, the government has the option to come into your house, knock your door down, take you out in handcuffs, post what you said online in front of a judge, and then possibly put you in jail for 14 years just because the government deems it to be in poor taste? They're the ones that are the arbitrator of what's in poor taste and what's not in poor taste. And you know what? This is totally wrong, and it's absolutely ridiculous that a government would abuse power this way. And here in the United States, I feel like we're lucky, because it would be very easy to defend a case like this if the government tried to come down on you. But it's not like that everywhere. There's a lot of places that do not have freedoms. There's a lot of countries that do not have freedoms. There's a lot of countries we're friendly to that do not have freedoms of speech, including places like Canada and England. It's hard to believe that the government could fine you or jail you for things you say in Canada, even in the context of a joke. AKA, you're inside of a comedy club and a comedian says something that's controversial, you could petition the government and say, "I don't like how they made fun of so-and-so. They're a protected group, so you should fine them." And comedians have to go in front of a tribunal and they have to determine if this is acceptable standards, even under the guise of being inside of a comedy club. And if you fight the government, you're talking about tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in lawyer fees to fight the government for something like this. You find these same instances in England. And right now in Russia, I honestly don't see much of a difference between the stretch of power between the Russian government and the stretch of power between the government in New Zealand. Vladimir Putin in Russia has signed a bill that would make it a crime to disrespect the state and spread fake news online. Legislation was pushed forward that says if you have blatant disrespect for the government, government officials, the Constitution, government bodies of Russia, you could be fined under this new bill saying that it is fake news if you criticize the government, up to 1.5 million rubles, which translates to nearly $23,000 U.S. Insulting state symbols and the authority, including Putin, could carry a fine up to about $4,600 here when you translate the rubles to U.S. dollars. Many journalists and people working inside, they've already petitioned this law. They call it direct censorship. The Kremlin denied the legislation amounts to censorship. But this is what happens when you don't have freedom of speech. We have very important special liberties here in the United States that allow us to express ourselves in a certain way, that allows us to express ourselves in a way that may be offensive to other people. And quite frankly, in 2019, everyone's offended by everything. It doesn't even matter. You can say something that you think is completely innocent and would have no offense factor, but here in this world, someone could find offense to it, weaponize the government against you, and find ways to jail you because they don't like the things you're saying. And that is one terrible way to live. It's the reason why we have these freedoms put into the Constitution. It's also one of the reasons why we have other protections put into this Constitution, given by God, not the government. We have freedom of speech for a reason. Freedom of religion to practice and worship in your own way. Freedom of press for a reason. Freedom in the Second Amendment when it comes to be able to protect ourselves and gun ownership. We have all wonderful freedoms here in the United States. Doesn't matter who's attacking them. You stop them and you tell them, I'm not giving up my freedoms. We find it all the time when it comes to the Second Amendment over and over and over again. And it was only a matter of time. We knew that the politicians in New Zealand would be doing the same thing, which I'm sure they will. We don't exactly know what they're proposing yet. And really, it doesn't matter. We have our own protections to try to keep here in the United States. We can look at it from afar. I don't have to get outraged by it. New Zealand can do whatever they want. And I'm just going to guess the next thing they're going to do is do this national gun registry, and they'll probably track everyone and try to take more guns away in their country. We'll just see how that works. But this is why you have to be very careful of how we address problems here in the United States. When we have a tragedy, and we do have tragedies here in the United States, if it's not a Second Amendment issue where you put the rallies and the people together and you have people saying we have to do something right away and we have to take this away and we have to take this right away and do that, if you start taking Second Amendment rights away, I guarantee you they're going to start talking about other rights to take away. You shouldn't be allowed to talk online, and you shouldn't be able to criticize officials, and you shouldn't be allowed to say these things. And next thing you know, they're trying to take your First Amendment rights away, or they're taking your right to protest away, or they're taking your right of search and seizure away. They always go, and they always try to find ways, and it never, ever is in your benefit. It's always trying to stack the deck in the form of more government control. And this is why you fight for your constitutional rights. You can look at these other countries and you can look at what they go through and just use it as a warning. Just use it as a warning. All right, we had to go serious there. Why not? You know, if you want to comment on that, you can. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I had a couple of other local stories here. One was from KMOV, the other one from Fox 2. When I hear these stories about what's happening in some of these daycares, what in the world is going on in St. Louis? Why do we have kid fight clubs going on? We got kids getting abused. And now there's a story. KMOV reports it. 4 and 5-year-olds being disciplined to strip inside of their daycare. Are you kidding me? It's too much. It's too much. Too much. We're going to talk about that too. And if you haven't heard that story, it's pretty outrageous. And the outrageous thing is, how do you not cut ties with that person immediately? If you catch someone red-handed doing something like this, there shouldn't even be an investigation. They should pick you up by the collar and they should toss you out on the street after kicking you on your backside. There shouldn't be any suspensions. I'm going to save it. It just drives me up a wall. It's Overnight America, KMOX. We have some really, really booked, awesomely booked days ahead. So tomorrow, I have some awesome guests. We're going to talk about the cheating in college admissions. I have a college prep, someone that's been working in that field for over 20 years. What's his experiences when it comes to college cheating, when it comes to admissions? I actually have America's rabbi. He's going to talk about some of the anti-Semitic comments that are coming from our politicians and just how sad and dangerous that is for the Jewish community and how to respond to something like that. That's coming up tomorrow on the show. On top of that, too, on Wednesday, we have a paranormal investigator coming in, and we're going to be able to walk the floor, walk the building, and we're going to look for paranormal activity right here on the KMOX floor. So we're going to do that live on the air. I don't believe in ghosts. And the interesting thing about this is that he comes at it in a sense where he's always trying to disprove the things that they find. So obviously he's not looking to sensationalize this. What he's trying to find are things he can't explain. So we're going to do that for an hour and see how it goes. We may go into a little overtime there and do it a little longer if we need to. But we test the equipment out today, and we're just going to do this live on the show. I'm going to follow them around. They're going to show me their instruments and things. And I've had people in the building tell me some of the weird things that have happened to them here. So I'm going to try to take them to some of those locations and look it out. We'll also have Drex on. We'll hook up with Canada again. And then next Monday, we're going to be talking to a very special guest on Netflix. There's a documentary out called Behind the Curve. And one of the main people they followed is someone that is, they don't call him the granddaddy of the flat earthers. There was a title for him. He was one of the very first ones that were open about it online. And I said, I would love to have you on the show. And I would love for people to call in and ask you questions. They do this whole documentary. He's the biggest piece of the documentary. I want to know how he thought it turned out, just to hear some of his thoughts. And I know people have questions of people that believe the earth is flat, because we had some of them on the air here. This will give an opportunity for anyone to call in and talk to someone that really believes this sort of thing. So that's going to happen next Monday night. We got a lot of great shows planned here soon. 314-436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. Let me go to Mike in St. Louis. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
How you doing? I heard you talking about that young gentleman in Zealand. How you say Zealand?
Yeah, New Zealand, the 18-year-old facing 14 years in prison for posting a comment on Facebook.
I think that's ridiculous. I agree with you. Now, I may not like what everybody says, but like in the United States, you say, look, yeah, we're blessed that you can make a comment. I think you should be allowed to make a comment. It may not be good taste or good taste to some people. I wouldn't like nobody heard, but I do think a person should be allowed to do that. You don't have to make a comment or not, but I don't think you should be arrested or go to jail for it. I do think that's really just too steep. Yeah, I really do.
It's terrible.
And I wanted to ask you something else, if you don't mind me saying this. A comment, what I just found out from my friend today. Like, well, may probably get in trouble my comment on this, but there was supposed to be a police officer, and I support the police. You know, everybody makes mistakes, okay? On both sides, you could be wrong or right. But it was supposed to have been a police officer, I don't know if you heard this story, ran into this lady. The cop actually ran into the lady. So it wasn't her fault. So what happens, he gives her a ticket because her seatbelt wasn't tight enough and went to jail, and I think that was wrong.
Do you know what city that happened in?
No, I sure don't, but you can look it up. But I won't mention whose opinion, but I know other people thought that was wrong, but other people might think. So you think she should have went to jail? Like he said, the charge was the cop ran into her. It wasn't her.
Yeah. Well, what was the
lady?
Well, you said it was
the
someone.
But wasn't tight enough.
Wait, so this was something you read online, or did you say you knew the people involved?
No, I heard it from my friend at work that pretty much gets in the news and listening and everything, and you know, black and white, and tell me a story. It happened to be a black woman, regardless who you are, white or black. I do think that's wrong. It's like if somebody ran into your car, an officer, and they give you the ticket because they say your seatbelt wasn't tight enough, and you go to jail. I think you should let her out.
Yeah, that's a classic law scenario that has come up many of times. And it's funny that you mentioned that scenario, because I saw recently a lawyer trying to explain that, because it's something they bring up to law students all the time. I wonder if Brad Young's listening right now. Wait, Mike, thank you very much for calling in.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this is a scenario. There's a lawyer that has a YouTube page, and he talks about different things that are going on in the news when it comes to law, and he tries to explain at least what he thinks on some of these things. And there was a scenario he brought up that said it's very common for law students in school, when they're learning and trying to use their problem-solving skills, to bring this scenario up and see what you think. So let's say you're stopped at a red light, and I'm probably going to get the details wrong in this, but you're stopped at a red light and you're eating a bowl of cereal, because he took a scenario from a TV show that does this exact case. You're at a red light and you're eating a bowl of cereal, which you're not allowed to do while you're driving a car, right? So the guy behind you rear-ends you and you spill the cereal all over the place. So the person behind you says, yeah, I'm not responsible for you spilling your cereal all over the place because you shouldn't have been eating that to begin with. Now, he might have been responsible for the crash, for hitting him from behind, but in the act of him losing the contents of his bowl of cereal or whatever, soup or whatever it was, he's not responsible for that. And that caused the question, how do you dispute something like that? So here's the thing. Even if the cop is responsible, the cop's going to have to face the consequence if he's responsible for the accident, sure. And the insurance companies deal with that sort of thing. Then, of course, there's got to be a reason. If he doesn't accept responsibility, or he wasn't ticketed, or they didn't bring another police officer in on the encounter, that's a whole different story. I didn't see it. I'd have to look into the details of it. But it depends, too. I mean, you can get stuck into a scenario where it's not your fault, but you could have been doing something that could get you in trouble. So it might not be your fault that you got hit. There might be another thing in there. So they can't just like turn the blind eye I don't know the whole details here. You can't just turn the blind eye. So let's say the cop hit someone, hypothetically, I'm not talking about any specific example here. And then, you know, gets out of the car and he looks and there's like, you know, a bunch of drugs sitting on the front seat saying, oh, well, I guess I hit you so I can't nail you for the drug crime. Yeah, I don't know. It all depends. Diana calling in St. Louis. Hey, Diana, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. Hi.
Go ahead.
I called using someone else's phone, so I had to. I don't know. It was a weird situation. But anyway, I found my phone, and I'm calling you from my phone.
Oh,
how
okay.
Are you?
Good. Well, I'm confused. So the missing phone scenario. How long were you missing your phone for?
Well, I tell you, I was using someone else's phone, so I don't want to talk about it at length because I had someone else's phone.
Yeah. Hopefully you told them you had their phone, right? You weren't secretly using their phone, were you?
I was secretly.
Oh, whoa. I see. Okay, Diana. So now things are getting interesting.
Yeah. But the mystery is, there's no more mystery because I have my phone.
It's all good now. So what's going on?
So look, you know, I listened to you last week, but boy, I had some long days, so I fell asleep early. But there was this one, I do want to make a comment about the senator from Illinois. He made this comment, but you made a comment about your parents last week. It was so funny. It was about how they told you to go to your room if you have to say certain choice words.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, when I learned a swear word, my parents would swear. But of course, you know, if you're in a household or you're around people that do that, if a kid hears it, they grab onto it and they won't let go of it. And I must have heard some words that I shouldn't have. And my parents said, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to have to go to your bedroom and you say the word as many times as you want. But when you leave that room, you're not allowed to say that word. So anytime you feel like you want to say it, you better go in your room alone. But when you're out, you don't say it. And that was their way of getting me not to swear in front of their friends and their, you know, anywhere else. And it worked. It worked for them. Yeah. Okay. So that was the story you're talking about. I wanted to catch everyone else up.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay. So anyway, it was so funny because it reminded me of when I was like under 10 and I had a similar experience, but my grandmother said, if I hear that word again, I'm washing your mouth with soap.
Yep. That was a common one
too.
Yeah,
and you didn't want soap in your mouth.
Uh-huh. No one did. It's terrible. It's
no
gross.
One did.
Ugh.
Yeah. So anyway, so earlier today, I'm not a big TV viewer, but I was watching the the national news. Afterwards, I watched the part of the local news. And the senator from Illinois, Dick Durbin,
okay,
made a comment that pregnant women, especially, he said, especially black women, are likely to die of childbirth. And I'm like, how is that all of a sudden this is new? Where did he get this from?
Oh,
where's
yeah.
his research?
Yeah, I don't know what he's quoting there.
And so anyway, this doctor, boy, she was a sharp cookie. She was this black lady who's serving as a doctor in Rwanda. She said, in Rwanda, all they do is apply certain medical procedures, and the mothers are fine.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that just shut him up. So
interesting.
Anyway,
yeah, I'm trying to think of how that could be true. The only experiences I know, and I'm not trying to defend him, but I know that in certain communities, it could be the African American community, if you don't have health insurance, you are less likely to go to a doctor to go get the procedures leading up as part of the pregnancy. So you don't get the checkups, you don't get the pills, you know, the prenatal pills or all of these different things, which may cause complications down the line, normally for the child, but not in childbirth itself. So I don't know where he's getting that. Well, yeah, I'd like to know.
Well, I don't know where he's getting it from either. The first thing that I thought of was that, okay, mothers, all black mothers, pack your bags up and move to Rwanda because it looks like the health care there is better than it is here.
It's not. No, not a chance. I don't know where he's getting that, and that's probably not a smart thing for him to go out there and say.
Yeah, but anyway.
Okay, I'm glad you got your phone back.
I was talking to you, so you take care. And I'm glad that you shared your story about your parents getting you to your room.
You and be careful with that phone. Don't lose it again, all right? I want you to hold on to it, and I don't want you finding a time where you're sneaking other people's phones out to make calls.
I know.
Thanks, Diana. Good to hear from you. All right, bye.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. I haven't heard those comments. You know, Dick Durbin is constantly on the different Sunday shows, the Meet the Presses and things like that. He's very good at getting in front of a camera. I didn't hear those comments either, so I can't say I know what he's citing when he talks about that sort of thing. I mean, there could be some study or there could be some medical journal that said something like that. I just don't know what he means by it or what the intention was for him to bring it up or even use it as a way to try to push a point through that's actually not connected. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Here it is, back again. Wow, what a night. Aw, Bree. How are you, Bree?
Oh, I'm just fine. It's been spring weather here.
Yeah, we're getting close to spring.
My redbud trees and my irises are blooming.
Yeah. So you pay attention a lot to the blooming trees around your home?
Oh yes, because I have a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, what's going on?
All of this stuff that's going on about immigration and illegal immigrants and et cetera, I get energy assistance, which pays the six highest bills that I have every year.
Okay.
And they give you a contract and tell you the bills that they'll pay.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have to apply for it in February. Well, I got my application packet, and it was all new. And it said that you had to have a green card, or you had to have an order from the court that said you have asylum, or you had to have your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know where my birth certificate was, so I was born in Dallas.
Yeah.
So I went down to the county office here because it said online that I could just go to any county and they would give me my birth certificate.
Uh-huh. Yeah, normally it's just a pretty easy process. I've had to do that before, too, where you don't have it. Yeah. You have to go and get a couple of things to confirm it's you, and then they just give you a copy.
Right. So it didn't come up. And I told her my name and you know, where I was born and the date and all. And but I was born, you know, in 1938, which
right.
was, I was born 3 months after the First World War and
uh-huh.
and 2 months before the Second World War.
Yeah.
And so things were in an uproar around here. And but anyway, she told me that she couldn't give it to me. And I said, well, they said that I could get it. And she said, well, were you born in a hospital? And I said, no, I was born at home.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, we can't give it to you.
Well, who issued it? Was it the state that issued it?
No, the county that you're born in issues it by
okay.
vital statistics.
Right. So wherever you were born, they still issue these things, like the health department or something like that would issue it out?
Well, they didn't just turn them in. They didn't turn them in right away. The doctor signed this card with put my name on it, my mother's name and my dad's, and when I was born and what time, and then signed it. And my mother had to send it in, but she didn't. I was born at home in my
yeah.
grandmother's house.
So what county were you born in?
I was born in Dallas County.
Dallas County, okay. Because I know you lived areas, too. When was the last time you saw?
Yeah, but usually you can go to any court clerk and they can pull it up on the
yeah.
computer.
Ah, Bree. You know, so you go through this hassle. They won't give it to you. Is it just one of those deals where you can go back and get a different person that's more understanding and they'll help you and this other person was just hassling you for no reason?
I called and they said that they have a new regulation now because of the illegal immigrants that you have to, if you were not born in a hospital, that you have to get the original vital statistics card that your doctor signed when you were born.
Such a hassle. You know, I remember now because we had to get a separate one for us when we had to apply for something when we moved here to Missouri. And I remember you had to go to the original hospital you were born in, and then you have to pay a big fee, and then they send it to you in the mail. And I remember all that.
Right.
It was an expensive process, too. It's like nothing cheap with maybe $30 or something for them to send you
yeah,
one in the mail.
Yeah, it was $35.
Yeah.
I called my sister, and she had to go down to the courthouse to vital statistics and get it.
So what does this mean? Are you not a citizen because you can't get a copy of this thing? What is this crazy talk?
Like I told him, well, honey, there is plenty of people that were, if you were born in like 38 or 48 or even 58, there's a lot of people that were not born in hospitals.
Yeah.
They didn't used to be born. We weren't born in hospitals. We were born at home.
Yeah, exactly.
A doctor
that's
came
common.
And delivered us.
Yeah, that's very common.
It's
very common for those years.
Right. But if you weren't born in a hospital, you can't get a certificate of your birth.
Ugh, what a hassle. You know, so what are you going to do next? We only have about a minute here.
Well, I've already got it. She sent it. It's wonderful. She took a picture of it and put it on her text message, and she sent it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me how to get it off. I didn't know how.
Oh, good for you. So you can use that. All right. Good. Very good. That's
yeah,
good
but I just thought that is something that if you were born at home, then you're not registered as a citizen.
You know what, Bree? This is what I would do if I were you. We only got a second or here too. You know, call whoever your congressman is and tell them I shouldn't be hassled. They would love to hear a story like that, and I bet you they would actually be able to help make a change in that type of regulation, because that's ridiculous. All right, Bree, we got to go. So glad to hear from you. Thank you for calling in.
Glad to hear from you too.
Right,
I listen to you every night, sweetie.
I know you do. Thank you, Bree. We'll see you.
Yeah, I hope your wife's not jealous because I call you sweetie.
No, I wouldn't worry about it. It's Overnight America.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.